Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Kia ora koutou, haere mai, ki Discourse. Ko Morgan Nickel, waha huka, poro hia hia aho. Tana koe Dylan, kia ora e hoa.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, not speaking Māori. I see what you did there. You snuck that right up on me.
Yep. Our mystery guest who hasn't bothered turning up had the awesomest bit of intro, though. But never mind.
I would have done very poorly had I tried to pronounce a lot of Māori anyway.
Oh. He aha te kupu Māori mō kaore e o te marama I te reo?
No.
That's a real funny joke. if you understand it, that's a real funny joke.
I bet it is.
And I made it up today.
Yay!
With the help of a dictionary. So what's happened this week? All sorts of things. Well, let's talk about last week before we talk about this week. Last week, we had a bit of a problem. So we decided to change from Tuesday to Wednesday for the recording thing, which makes very little difference to the podcast listeners. The theory was, well, number one, you were going to be doing some work stuff on Tuesday night, so Wednesday was better for you.
And in theory, but actually the theory, I believe, is wrong in that respect anyway. But yeah. Yep, that was my idea.
The other thing, which is why I was totally into the idea, was that it had been our news was just very slightly more less out of date, more up to date. Because
there have been a couple of occasions where we've said something, and then the day between when we record it and when it gets released as a podcast, some other thing happens.
Exactly.
It makes whatever we've said 100% wrong or completely out of date.
Right. So we'd record on Tuesday night, I'd edit it fairly quickly and put it up, and then it would just wait there until Thursday morning when it would go live on the Tuesday night thing. And so we decided to try Wednesday night. And I would put it up, and it would wait there for about 4 hours, and then it would go live, which, you know, is pretty quick for, you know, the way this show is designed anyway. But as it turns out, and the one concern that both of us had was that it didn't leave any slack, because there have been times when we couldn't get it together to do a Tuesday night record for whatever reason, and we'd do it, you know, in that remaining night on the Wednesday and put it out. So there was that little buffer zone. And so the first time that we tried the Wednesday night record, you forgot and went out for dinner. And mm-hmm. we only managed to get it together just by a fucking force of will and recording quite late.
Well, and also the fact that my children can't stay up late anyway, so yeah. A night out with them is not that late, but yeah.
And the second time we tried it, which is last week, your kid came down with some kind of terrifying rash and you had to leave to go to hospital. And so like a lunatic, I continued the show.
It was delightful to listen to, I have to tell you.
Yeah. Did you actually listen?
I did. I listened to the entire thing in the car on my way to work on Thursday morning, I think, and spent a lot of time yelling at you, which you couldn't hear, whereas when I'm actually here while you're recording, I can interrupt you and you can hear me.
And not much yelling is required.
No, because I have a microphone. Yeah. But from the car, for some reason, I feel like I need to yell.
Actually, that's a point, I suppose. Listeners, if you feel like you spend a lot of time yelling at me and I'm not listening, I'm very happy for you to come on the show. If I don't think you're any good, you'll probably be off in about 15 minutes or less. But, you know, you never know.
You could try your hand at Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
That's an excellent idea.
And whatever other creative and exciting games we come up with.
Whatever stuff. Things
Anything.
Have I got it as a button? No, it's in one of the new ones. No, I haven't got it.
That's all right. Doesn't matter.
Button? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Did the listenership increase over the last week? That's a question from the chat room. I haven't looked. I have no idea.
Morgan, like Will McAvoy and whatever her name is, the producer, likes to avoid the ratings. He doesn't like to be guided by the ratings. He wants to do what he thinks is right, regardless of what the ratings say.
Stick to kind of purity of the message. Yeah, that's not true, because I would completely sell out in a second if I thought it would give us a giant audience. Everything I've tried has failed, though. So I mean, why look? It's been so stable for such a long time that it's just, there's no point in really looking week to week. It makes no difference. What else has happened? Oh, yeah, so is the kid all right?
Yeah, it turns out it was a staph infection, actually, yeah. which created lots of spots and was amazing. Antibiotics are awesome because we spent a while there. We didn't leave till about 12:30. But he got a double dose of antibiotics just before we left. And by the time I got home, like 40 minutes later, the spots had dramatically improved. So, wow, antibiotics.
Yeah, antibiotics. Very, very cool. So was that was an injection of antibiotics, was it?
No, that was oral. Wow. It was a mouthful of strange orangey fluid.
Right, cool. And so does that mean it was just a one-shot thing, or does that mean you have to...
No, he then had a course. He's just finishing his course at the moment of oral and topical antibiotics.
Whatever you do, don't stop.
No. Tomorrow will be the last day of his course, 7 days.
Yeah, I got bronchitis a few times when I was a teenager, early teens. My mother blames herself because she was a smoker and gave up, and then it went away. So I'd be given the old, I think it was always Augmentin that I was given. So if we looked it up now, it'd probably turn out to be a placebo. I was always given Augmentin, and it had such a remarkable effect. So, you know, I'd try to tough it out with the bronchitis, even though it became pretty obvious what it was pretty soon. So, you know, I'd go a couple of weeks with the kind of liquidy lungs and terrible cough and coughing when I lay down to try and sleep. And then, like, within a day of starting the antibiotics, it'd just be completely gone. And so I think I probably – and because they tasted so fucking horrible and I'm a giant pussy, I'd stop taking them. I'm the problem.
You are. You're responsible for it.
Yep.
Well, most people apparently don't finish their courses properly, which, yeah, makes everything a little bit antibiotic resistant.
And the last thing for the Wednesday night stuff was you actually were going to – you have to work tomorrow.
I've got a little thing I'm doing tomorrow, so that would have made it difficult. I may have made it back for like a normalish kind of time recording, but yeah. I may not have.
Yeah, and so I really enjoy recording on Wednesday, but I also like having that little bit of flexibility. If something goes wrong, we can just stop or not do it on Tuesday, and come back on Wednesday and have a second shot, which you know has only had to happen a couple of times. But you know, trying the Wednesday night thing just felt like a disaster right from the beginning. It felt like it was going wrong, so we're going back to Tuesday. Makes very little difference, I think, to the listeners, as I said. But you know, that's the story. Something else that's a story, something that also makes very little difference to the kids, but something that's made a difference to me. Something we spoke about in the unpublished overflow last week. You had to be in the chat room to be involved in that. There's no way I was doing an overflow after that show.
I was quite curious listening to the show. I was like, is it going to tell me there's an overflow?
There was a massive overflow. I think I stayed just talking to the guys in the chat room for probably another hour or more. And the Steam Summer Sale was on. Of course. And I bought a bunch of games. Believe it or not, in the end, I never got Armour 2, even though I suggested other people should have gotten it already. I'm probably going to pay normal price as soon as I get rid of the other games I bought in the summer sale. One of the games I got, though, was Fallout New Vegas, and it has completely fucking consumed me ever since. I should learn my lesson and just stay away from games because I binge. I'm absolutely insane. What day did I buy it on? I think I bought it on Saturday. 20 hours I've played. 20 hours.
That's quite a lot.
That is far too much between then and now. That means I've basically done nothing creative, nothing satisfying. So Kevin Long in the chat room. Retail release of DayZ is expected in September-ish. Well, I'm quite pleased that I waited then because I'd rather get the real thing, probably, than mess around with, you know, mods and patches and all that stuff.
Remember the early days of Counter-Strike, Morgan?
It was so fun. It's funny you mentioned that because I was just talking about that with some colleagues a few days ago. We'd sit around at iHug after hours, playing initially Half-Life with some mods, that giant kitchen room where you ran around like through
that's right.
Holes
everything
and
was
stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I remember everything was like it was like you were a mouse. Everything was a huge, massive scale kitchen.
And then later on, the very early version of Counter-Strike before it became the phenomenon that it is, and before kind of the twitchy people moved to it. I guess the Twitch people were still playing Quake,
Rocket Arena.
Yeah. So they hadn't moved over. And anyway, we weren't playing on public servers. We were just playing with other colleagues around the various three or four buildings in the IHUG agglomeration. That was brilliant. And we'd set up in Counter-Strike. I remember we'd set up little conference calls on our team on the work phone system.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. I think that gave us a distinct advantage. And I remember we'd order pizza for the office, you know, the few people that were left there after hours. And we'd get, see if I get this right, cheese, pepperoni, cheese and pepperoni.
I think there might have been another pepperoni.
Something like that. Anyway, because the theory.
And sometimes with parmesan sprinkles and chili sprinkles.
Oh, and garlic.
Garlic, yeah.
Yeah, the theory being that if you just said double cheese, double pepperoni, you know, they'd probably put a bit more on. But if you gave the ingredients multiple times, maybe they'd put them in differently. Maybe they'd put a comment on it. Maybe they'd spin it. I don't know, because we were idiots. I don't know. But it certainly seemed to work because we got the most ridiculous pizzas delivered. Absolute piles of cholesterol goop. Delicious. So good.
It's good stuff. It was a great time.
And bottles of Mountain Dew, as you would.
It was horrific. It hurts my arteries to think about it.
Man, I'm surprised we don't all have diabetes. We should probably have diabetes.
Dodged a bullet.
I might still get it. Fallout New Vegas. God, stay away from that kind of game. I'm going to play the hell out of that game. I'm going to continue. I've been thinking about playing it all day. Right now.
I remember when I played games enough to think about them when I wasn't playing them.
Yep.
I remember having dreams about. Did you ever play the Navy SEALs patch for Quake?
I don't think so. That doesn't sound familiar.
Was it Quake? I think it was. I think it was Quake. Yeah. Anyway, it was kind of like. It was a bit like Counter-Strike. I remember actually having dreams about that. And the weird thing was, it wasn't dreams where I was in the game. It was dreams where I was playing the game. Like when I play a lot of games, I don't have dreams about, you know, I'm not running around in the Counter-Strike world. I'm sitting behind a computer playing Counter-Strike.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't play games anymore.
Well, I haven't dreamed about New Vegas yet, but right now I'm thinking about playing it.
That's because you haven't slept yet.
I'm thinking about, because I just found a sniper rifle. And I'm like, will it turn out to be any good? Should I stick with the energy weapons? Where am I going to go next in my random meandering, kind of ignoring the story and just wandering through the wasteland? Where am I going to go next? And when is my offsider, Veronica, going to leave me? Because she's already suggested that she wants to go home. I haven't kidnapped her. She said she wanted to come with me. And then I like made a dress the way I wanted it a dress and basically just get her to carry all my shit. She's going to leave, and I know she's going to leave, and I'm going to be heartbroken. And for some reason, every now and then I get – it's probably because I haven't given enough character points to speech or something. I don't have enough flirting stuff. I really want to root her before she leaves. Don't think I'm going to be able to, though. Don't think so. So have you managed to get – things together like Discourse Weekly Show,
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Have you got that and so on?
Or I have three potential words for you ready to pick from, so I'll make you pick a number from 1 to 3 when we get to do that.
All right. And I've got all my various things. I wish that the this little window was wider because I'm sure that there was an inadvisable sting loaded. But it's
God, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess I can probably replace that.
Shakespeare.
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 I can probably replace that one with something else because I think that segment is not going to happen.
No, we can't find enough funny, amusing Shakespeare.
No, exactly. So I think it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Oh, we forgot the big news of the week.
Oh, yep.
The KFC Double Down's back.
KFC Double Down. Golly, that's exciting.
Were you vegetarian the last time it was around?
Poorly considered and unexpected segment.
That was the button I was hoping to find before. I was a vegetarian last time, and I just generally wasn't very interested in it. It seems too small to be satisfying, but I suppose it does have a lot of protein.
Yeah, it's just cheese and bacon and chicken.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what you'd expect, I think.
Yeah. Have we spoken at all about the KFC pie?
Yes, maybe.
Have you tried one?
I had some of one.
Some of one is probably not sufficient to make an informed decision about it.
Right.
Because,
Goodness, we're just churning through this and talking about crap.
15 minutes.
Lucky we don't have shitloads of news stories.
Yeah, that's lucky that we haven't got shitloads of news stories. It's really very good. The pastry is one of the, probably the best kind of cheap pie pastries I've ever had from any vendor. But the inside, there's a little bit too much of the potato and gravy, I think.
Right.
But aside from that, I thought it was really excellent for a $5 KFC pie. It seems like something that should be awful. But it's not awful. The pastry was lovely. Absolutely lovely. But I've only tried one, and I'm probably never going to try another one again. Who knows? So maybe I fluked it.
Did you see the... what was it? Oh, there was the Choco-Aid biscuits came back.
This is the orange chocolate biscuits for old
ladies. They say came back. I don't ever remember them the first time around, but whatever.
Yeah, they're for old ladies. They're not for you and me.
I saw a tease for it in the news thing. It's like, see what old favorite food stuff has come back thanks to a social networking campaign. I was like, oh, good. Is it finally Georgie pie? No, it's not Georgie pie. It's some shitty biscuit. Chocolate tarty orange shit.
We got one because Sal was I don't know if she was actually excited at the memory of them or if it was she was taken by the marketing, but we got some and they just tasted like pretty normal sort of Jaffa biscuits, but not as good as what are the English ones called?
Jaffa cakes.
Not as good as a Jaffa cake. The crispy biscuit is just that mass produced, a little bit too hard.
No, I had one. I was unimpressed.
Not impressed?
Unimpressed.
Yeah, unimpressed. Absolutely unimpressed. Let's say that's what you get, whoever put that out. Arnott's or whoever. Congratulations.
Yeah, Arnott's or Griffin's. One of those two.
One of them guys.
Things.
So, John, who...
And now the news.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, go on.
All right, well, I'll start then. So, now, obviously, this week we had a man who we don't know if he was crazy or not. Murder.
Certainly by some definitions of the word he was this,
murder a bunch of people, a bunch of innocent people who absolutely didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the sort of story that we're the least we cannot serve this kind of story appropriately.
It's interesting because observing it from outside of the US, universally, I think we all have pretty much the same response. Like everyone is like, well, fucking no shit. Look at your crazy gun control laws.
Yeah.
Or lack of them. Yeah. And that's it. Whereas within the US, the debate is much different.
Well, there have been some weird things like calls for midnight screenings to be banned.
Yeah, I mean, that's very strange reactionary ideas.
It's missing the point by such a wide margin. We have midnight screenings in New Zealand and we've never had anything like this.
Yeah, it's interesting. People will look at all sorts of things. Like, now apparently lots of cinemas have, increased security presence, bag checking, police on site, which is ridiculous because, the cinema wasn't really the aspect of this that was... and theoretical costume bannings and mask bannings and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird.
But it's an asshole. Whether he's crazy or he's just sort of evil. Evil might be the right word. If he's not insane, but is just so fucking wrong about things that he would murder that many innocent people.
Don't like the word evil because I think it's simplistic and it seems to disclaim responsibility as if, people who believe in the idea of evil anyway, it does. There's some interesting things, I think. One is that both sides of the gun control debate are using this in favor of their side of the argument. Yeah. So the pro-gun control or anti-gun, let's say anti-gun lobby, is saying, look, we shouldn't have military weapons available to civilians. That's ridiculous. We should require licensing and, psychological checks and things like that.
Yeah.
Although, very likely he would have passed those anyway. And the pro-gun lobby says, if the theatre wasn't, if the theatre didn't have a no-guns rule, people who were legally allowed to carry concealed weapons could have shot the dude and stopped it.
And that might be true. A few days before this went down, there was a brilliant little video came up of a couple of young men who burst into an internet cafe somewhere in the States.
Yep.
One of them had a baseball bat and the other one had a pistol. And they go in to rob it. And an old man, I don't have the story up, exactly shoots them. He just drops into, he appears out of nowhere in his little shorts from up the back of the place where he's probably Facebooking with his girlfriend.
He was 71.
Right. And he just starts shooting, very accurately shooting at them. And they ran away so fast, and neither of them died.
No. But the thing, there's, yes, that worked out well in that case, kind of. But the thing that gets me about it is he continued shooting at them as they were running away onto the street.
Yeah. He was right to.
Well, yes and no, except he's firing into a potentially crowded area with other people. I wonder what the legality is if he kills a bystander.
Probably be a manslaughter trial.
Yeah. And he shot at them, which very, very possibly could have made the situation worse, because then it could have started a gunfight when previously no one was going to get shot. Who knows?
Maybe, but I think that if someone starts trouble, they, and I mean, the point is well made that, you know, if the bad guys had started shooting around more wildly than the old guy was shooting, bystanders could have been hurt where they otherwise may not have been. But if you go into a situation like that, if they were the belligerents, yep. right? I believe that the belligerents, in the heat of the moment, deserve everything that comes to them.
Possibly. I just think that the downsides to this are that you don't know what their intentions are. As soon as another gun is present, it escalates the situation to a point where there is really no means of de-escalation. So if one guy has a gun and is holding everyone else at bay, there's no need for him to shoot anyone, and yeah. most likely he won't, and probably in the vast majority of cases, no one gets shot.
Yeah.
As soon as another gun is present, then someone basically has to shoot, both people have to shoot.
That doesn't necessarily follow, although more guns is always going to be less safe than fewer.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I always see. And there's
another thing that would, I don't actually want to name this guy, because one of the things is you shouldn't name these people, I understand. I believe he was actually also wearing body armor. So shooting back at him would have done fuck all. Anyway, let's get past the story, because we probably will disagree. I'm actually quite in favor of firearms, not assault rifles and not massive magazines, but I'm a big fan of shotguns and 22s and so on, sports firearms. I've had great fun shooting shotguns and little rifles, no one has ever been killed because of it. And that's true, I think, probably of the majority of uses of firearms in New Zealand, the vast majority. My family's got a long history with shooting quite a lot, lots of hunting, duck stuff and so on, and they were quite present in my youth. So I'm a fan actually of guns. Guns are hilariously good fun, great fun to play with, you know, with certain rules about safety. Sounds like you're a bit more anti, and you're probably, it's actually more reasonable to be anti, because,
well, no, I mean, the things you describe, I'm not, but people owning them for self-defense, I think,
I don't think there's a fair justification for that.
It makes things worse.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think if you're so afraid of people attacking you that you need firearms, then I think you actually have an emotional problem, because the world is not actually out to get you. The world generally doesn't care about you at all.
Yeah, and I like shooting stuff, but I don't want to own a gun. It's, you know, fundamentally.
Yeah.
Where it stands, I'm happy to go somewhere and shoot some things, but I don't want to own a gun. I don't need to own a gun.
Yeah. So on Gamma Squad, they published a list of reporting what matters in the Aurora, quote, Dark Knight Rises, unquote, tragedy. And it has a list of a forensic psychiatrist's suggestions on how to report mass murders without propagating additional mass murders, copycats and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And includes, don't start the story with sirens blaring. So this is basically the media should cool it a bit. Don't have photographs of the killer, because you don't want to make them famous.
Yeah, which is what a lot of them want.
That's right. And so you don't give them that. Don't make it 24/7 coverage, because honestly, why would it need to be? This is not an ongoing, I mean, it's an ongoing story for the families and friends, but you don't need to break into all other programming. You know, it's an event that has happened. People are picking up the pieces and mourning, but it is not actually an ongoing event. It doesn't require 24/7 coverage. Do everything you can not to make the body count the lead story. So it's just that an event happened. It's not how many people were killed. Because if you make it about the number of people killed, that's a high score for someone to go for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this guy shot, what, like 60 people or something?
Oh, quite a lot, yeah.
It's only by chance that you know, they didn't all die. I mean, he was going for it. What an asshole.
Well, there's a lot of places you can shoot people that aren't fatal, that isn't fatal, so I guess.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. This one doesn't make much sense to me. Not to make the hero some kind of anti-hero. Do they mean the perpetrator? I think this has been mistranscribed. That doesn't actually make sense to me. Well, this guy's not a hero or an anti-hero. He's just an asshole. And I hope he gets locked away for forever. Just forever. And do localize.
He's facing the death penalty, so that's probably quite likely.
Yeah. Do localize the story to the affected community. So basically, don't talk about it, you know, amongst the greater population. Talk about it locally. Make it as boring as possible in every other market, which is something that the news is not ever going to embrace.
No, I mean, all of those are almost 100% the opposite of what the news networks are inclined to do.
That's right.
Including, apparently, CBS did a big story essentially on that.
Yeah.
Which kind of defeated the purpose because their story was kind of highlighting all of those things.
I think quite specifically I reckon the number one thing to do is not name them. I think the number one thing is don't identify them. I think you can talk about an event having happened. Just don't make the person into I mean, the person should not even really be a factor as far as the public cares. As far as all they need to know is that someone did it. And that
we probably
person
agree,
is either dead or in custody.
It's hard to imagine how that actually happens in practice.
Yeah. Well, you just don't name them.
Yeah, but you have to refer to them, and it's difficult to refer to people without naming them. And then you talk
about them as the Aurora gunman. The Aurora,
yeah, I suppose.
The Aurora murderer, I don't know. So, there was one other thing, and this is something where, you know, some of us in the world can maybe be grateful for living in the societies we do. This is Caleb Medley, who was shot.
Shot in the eye.
And has already suffered, I think, something like a $2 million medical bill. And he's uninsured and he lives in the States. So, of course, you know, they believe that
his wife, I believe, is in the same hospital expecting a baby any day.
They think it's communism. Of course, the Americans, they think it's communism to spread the cost of healthcare around. The rest of the world know that it actually just makes a more efficient system. But whatever, guys, whatever. But so just remember, if our governments ever propose messing with our healthcare system, and they do a little bit, they fuck around with the ACC, if our governments, you know, Labor, National, whatever swaps around, Green, maybe if they're ever a majority government, don't let them.
They say something like 50% of bankruptcies in the US are attributable to medical costs.
God damn it.
Or attributable to medical conditions. It can be medical costs or job loss through medical conditions.
It's terrifying.
Next story.
Yeah. Craziness.
Next story.
Do you want to do one? I've got some.
Sure. Hang on. All right. So what was I going to say? Oh, what do we got?
Yeah, I'm ready to go, mate. Come on now.
I'm just going to pick one. You know what happened about 6 months ago?
About 6 months ago. What? That would have been about February, would it? No, that would have been January.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Was it the 1st of February? I don't know. Whenever it happened. Now, is that right? Anyway.
This is the best story ever.
This isn't even 6 months ago. This is just, well, it was 1st of December, wasn't it? But they've come out with figures now from the first 6 months of Skynet.
Yeah.
So it was actually longer than 6 months ago, but the 6 month information is out now.
Yeah.
The gist is the RIAA, Recording Industry Association, RIANZ, Recording Industry Association of New Zealand, not America.
Yeah.
Sent 2,766 infringement notices.
How many? 2,766?
2,766.
Yeah.
So they spent about $60,000 on infringement notices at $25 a pop.
Right.
They want to decrease the cost from $25 to $2 or less per infringement notice to send.
Right.
The Federation Against Copyright Theft, who is the movie side of it,
yeah,
sent no infringement notices. None.
Yeah.
Because they say the fee is too high and it should be cut to, quote, pennies.
Yeah.
So according to, I'm reading David Farrar's website for this, RIANZ claimed in the submission that file sharing was costing them $50 million a year. This is what they claimed when the thing was being examined. So, and they also say that RANZ also says that there's been an 18% reduction in peer-to-peer file sharing.
Yeah.
So, using their own maths, $50 million in sales, 18% reduction is $9 million worth of piracy saved.
Right.
And they've only spent $60,000 on it, so he doesn't understand why they want to lower the price. It seems like a good deal.
But I saw Telecom Extra revealed what they've had to pay to service the complaints.
Telecom said the fees should rise to $104 per notice. It's spent $534,416 complying with the $416 complying with the law.
So, and so it's sent
only 1,238 notices.
God damn it. Ask yourself, who should be paying? Because it's not Telecom Extra with the problem.
No, and of course the same thing will be true for most ISPs. They've had to spend a lot of money in terms of A, training staff, B, changing systems if necessary to record this information, yeah. C, implementing a policy and procedure for communicating the information.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of cost in it for ISPs, and that was what the notice fee was all about.
Yeah.
But given the low volume, it was much lower than we expected it to be because the movie people didn't get involved.
Yeah. Telecom Extra... Telecom are not going to ask for more punitively because I don't believe that they're taking a political position. They will ask more, I think, because they have to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say, look, you know, you want us to do this, that's fine, but cover our costs.
Yeah, and I think that it's only fair for the people making the complaint who essentially forced through a law that many of us didn't want. I think it's only fair that they pay. And if $25 is not enough, suck it up, pay more. But they better not get it for cents. And I thought it was very revealing that they said that it should be reducing to pennies. Because penny is not a word we use in New Zealand. That's American. Okay, so if that spokesman knows so little about our country that we say cents here, not pennies, dude should be replaced with a New Zealander who actually understands the local community. Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Sounds like a great idea.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia, or lately, the Netherlands, I've been enjoying?
No, I don't, but that sounds like a fun thing to do anyway, just to confuse security personnel on the other end when I'm hacking through their firewall.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently, last year, passed some kind of stupid law or whatever? Some unrelated thing.
Yes, sounds good.
Then you can tell them to mind their own business while you mind yours. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
I bet it costs heaps.
It's surprisingly, it actually costs so much less than you might expect. Given
how. Pennies?
It's dollars.
Oh.
It's dollars and cents. Pay for 3 months at a time, and it's quite cheap, relatively speaking. You know, people can't look at your internet, so you can do your work, webmail stuff. If it's not SSL protected, you can do your banking stuff, and everything is safe and encrypted, and no one knows who you are or where you're coming from. I wonder why that might be an advantage.
I can't think of any advantages.
Next story.
What else you got?
Groundwork starts on Cardboard Cathedral. Have you heard that? Ages ago now, it seems like a past tense story. Christchurch had some kind of little earthquake. Or maybe there were a couple of them. Well, they had a cathedral, which has been pretty much demolished now, right in the middle of their quote-unquote city. Christchurch, it's not too soon anymore, assholes. there was a Japanese architect designed a cathedral, a replacement cathedral. It's only intended to be a temporary structure, and it's made out of cardboard.
Now, see, I'm looking at the picture of it, right, the scale model he's created, and certainly a scale model is very, very reasonable out of corrugated cardboard. Does he realise, do you think, that the cardboard doesn't scale up quite like that?
I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think this it looks excellent. It looks like actually quite an old fashioned structure, but that's just because it's a triangle and it's quite a strong structure. It'll be interesting to see what happens in an earthquake. I'm guessing that because it's a very light structure, it will, you know, and also relatively probably flexible,
I would say so.
I think it'll probably deal with you know, the ongoing tremors pretty well.
I wonder if they're going to have leftover cardboard tubes and if I can get some for my kids, because they love that shit.
Yeah. It's a long way to bring them, but, I mean, maybe, I guess. I'd
probably just pick them up on trade me and have someone pop them in the post.
I suppose you could do that, or you could. I'm sure that there are other ways to get bits of cardboard for your kids than steal them from a cathedral building site.
Yeah.
Next story. Oh.
David Bain. I love talking about David Bain because... And
corrections.
Sure made a mistake letting him out. Compensation bid to be assessed. A senior Canadian judge has been brought to New Zealand to assess David Bain's compensation bid for wrongful imprisonment. Bain spent 13 years in jail after being convicted of murdering his family. Robin didn't do it because he also murdered Robin in 1995. A retrial was ordered by the Privy Council, and in 2009 he was acquitted, which isn't the same as being found innocent. Now retired Supreme Court Judge Justice Ian Binney is running the inquiry into whether Bain should receive a multi-million dollar payout. But the terms of this are different. It's balance of probabilities, I believe. Rather than reasonable doubt or whatever.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm kind of the opinion that, you know, if his conviction was overturned and he was retried and he was acquitted again, then the first time, then I think maybe he should be entitled to compensation, regardless
no,
of
no, because he did it.
Well,
no, because
yeah,
he did
but,
it.
But the court process says he
no, it doesn't. It doesn't say he didn't do it.
It says he was.
It
not.
Says that they couldn't find him guilty. And I think that the compensation should only be for innocent people who were wrongly imprisoned. He was rightly imprisoned because he did it.
I don't know. I'm still not sure that it works that way.
I think it does. Sure, he has to prove that he was an innocent man that was wronged, but he is actually a murderer.
Mm.
And that is the process.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. I understand what you're saying. I sort of think that, you know, there are times when you say, well, that was the way it panned out.
The way it panned out was him getting out. The way it pans out better not be us giving him millions of dollars because he did murder his family.
Right.
I'm about 98% sure of that. And that 2% of doubt is not that Robin did it. It's that some random person, maybe from another planet, turned up and did it in exactly the way that David had described he'd do it later. And I think it's a damn shame that the police apparently got this wrong. They got it right enough that they got a conviction and also what's it called? They did other things. Other things
know.
Where he was still found to have done it. I can't remember what all the legal terminology is. Can you hear this sound? That's the sound. Yeah, that's the sound of brain cells being
smashed against the.
Now, if it turned out that he was innocent, then of course he deserves compensation. It would be terrible to be locked away for 13 years if you hadn't done it. But let's be honest. He did it. No one else could have done it.
So apparently, I'm just reading a bit more about it, one of the current criteria for compensation is that the convictions be quashed and no retrial ordered.
Right. Well, a retrial was ordered.
Bain would have to show he were more likely that he was innocent than not. So that's the balance
of
probabilities
thing.
Well,
see, neither of those is true, is it? It is not more likely that he's innocent than guilty.
No, I mean, assuming that Wikipedia is correct and I've never known it not to be, then it would seem that he is probably unlikely to be eligible for compensation. But I think all due process should be followed, so great, get a Canadian judge in here to look at it and figure it out.
Our mystery lawyer, it's been suggested that our mystery lawyer should be, our masked legal adventure should be brought in to consult on this and perhaps to stop me from saying too much. That point has been long since passed, and this is not the kind of law that she practices, although I'm sure that she could, you know, have a pretty well-educated...
So shut the fuck up.
A pretty well-educated whack at it. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I feel like I can't defame him because... It's not like I'm the only person who thinks or suggests that he did it. It's not like I'm changing people's minds about it. A lot of people believe that he did it.
The concept, I think, is whether or not you you might lower his lower a right-thinking person's opinion of him.
I don't think that's possible, is it?
I don't know. I heard he was selling coffee in the suburb where I work from a van. I heard he was selling coffee from a mobile van in the suburb where I work, but I have yet to see him doing it. So I'd happily buy a latte from the man. Well, you know how
I would
goes.
I would love to get a shot from him. Oh no, that was just his whole family. Yeah, classic. Classic.
Next story.
Next story.
No conviction. Speaking of
the court.
No
legal
conviction.
System.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's as far as I'm going to go on that. No conviction for Wannabin stars, because this is something that I'm not going to go too deep on. No conviction for Wannabin stars in pilot prank. So, months ago. It was last year.
Well, it was September.
I guess they were TV3 at the time. Are they still TV3? The former crew of... And actually, what's his name might have been involved as well.
He wasn't.
He wasn't involved?
No, it was just Ben Boyce and the production crew for that show, Wannabin.
They dressed someone up as a pilot, and I can't even remember all the details. They went to the airport, and did he like try to get into restricted
he said
areas?
Something, I think he said something like he's forgotten his ID and tried to get someone to let him through a closed door, and they didn't let him through. But then anyway, there was a big thing because it was reported, and then there was security footage released, and then turns out that it was a TV.
It was just a prank. It's the same thing that they used to do on Pulp Sport, where they'd sneak beers into Eden Park and so on, and it was hilarious. It wasn't airports. I mean, people are a little bit more sensitive about airports and airplane security, but also this is New Zealand. We can be a bit pragmatic, right? Anyway,
so I think like six people were charged.
Yeah.
And four of them were crew, basically.
Yeah. So there was operating cameras and sound.
Cameras,
stuff.
Sound ops. Or maybe three of them were crew, and one of them was a director, and one was a producer, and one was Ben Boyce himself, who was a producer and a presenter, I think, or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
I was really uncomfortable with the crew being charged because essentially, they not that they didn't have a choice, but they, you know, you turn up on the day and say, you know, and you get told where you're going and what you're doing, and you don't really have the opportunity at that time to say, wait, is this a good idea? Or you kind of, maybe you do, but someone's already said, no, it's fine. And, you know, so I wasn't comfortable with them being charged. But in the end, no one's been convicted. There's been some, no one's been convicted on the grounds that they do some community service and pay some fines, basically.
Yeah.
And in that case, I think it was quite reasonable that the conviction would outweigh the seriousness of the offending.
Yeah.
Especially for people who make their livings entertaining and need to be able to travel and things.
It's really important that we get as far away from this story as soon as possible.
Before you say something you really shouldn't?
Yep.
Next story.
Too much mating fatigues oversexed squid. And this is kind of science news that makes you go, duh. But this is from futurity.org, which is one of my favourite little websites, although I can't bring myself to read most of the articles because, you know, even sexed up science research publishing can be a little bit dull. But this one is excellent. After mating for up to 3 hours, the southern dumpling squid is often...
Nice.
It should be called the southern humping squid, I reckon. The southern dumpling squid is often too tired to swim for up to 30 minutes afterwards. And I've got to tell you, I mean, after far less than 3 hours in my case, 30 minutes was nothing. I mean, I'm spent for 12 hours. You know, I'm sleeping. I'm already sleeping and dreaming.
Yeah,
before all the other squids have even rolled over.
Very understandable. I don't even know why that's news. Why can't we just leave the squid alone, give him a chance to rest?
Dumpling squid engage in up to 3 hours of mating that is seemingly initiated by males whenever the opportunity arises.
Well, duh.
It's a bit rough though. The male grabs the female from underneath and holds her in place throughout copulation. It must be a bit difficult, though. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've tried in the pool, you know.
Don't anthropomorphize.
Floating. It's hard to... I mean, it'd be like trying to have sex in zero
gravity. Don't they have... what do they call them? Swim bladders? They can, you know, they
flotation
they can pull their
bladders,
buoyancy.
Yeah, yeah. But they'd still move back and forth more than we do when we are attached to the ground.
Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they have internal moving parts or something. You're putting way too much human physics into this.
No, just normal physics.
Okay. Next story.
Next story.
Next story.
Giant. Actually, we should probably give this one plenty of time and maybe not put her on after the squid sex story. I'm going to move her along a couple. No, that one is the same story.
Oh, okay, I got one.
And that one's also the same story. God, I got three tabs for the same story.
Oh, yeah, oh that's terrible. Kiwi musician can't be can't be a Kiwi.
Let me see. Where's my? Have I got?
Where'd you go? You went all weird.
Yeah, yeah, I went over here.
Oh, don't do that.
I went. I went all over the way over there because I wanted to. I wanted to get rid of.
Have you heard of the Phoenix Foundation?
Dylan Reeve. Someone paid me to kill you. If you want me to spare you, I'll give you 2 days to pay $5,000. If you inform the police or anybody, you will die. I am monitoring you.
That's actually really hard to understand that one, eh?
It was also a bit weirder because... Because
you could hear my...
I could hear you through the other mic.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I was going in one direction, you've gone with another direction, but that's fine.
Australians receive SMS death threats. Many Aussies across New South Wales and South Australia had a bit of a shock when they received an SMS threatening them with assassination. Although somewhat varied, the messages typically read, someone paid me to kill you. If you want me to spare you, I'll give you 2 days to pay $5,000. If you inform the police or anybody, you will die. I am monitoring you. And signed off with an email address. Police and the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission have warned that the messages are almost certainly fake. And that no,
almost certainly.
Almost certainly. And that no dialogue should be entered into.
How do you know if you've got a fake assassination warning or a real one? Because I think that's something important to figure out.
I think that you know if you're the sort of person who's likely to be up for a murdering.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, if you're just, you know, an ordinary citizen, keeps to themselves, plays a bit of Warcraft, masturbates slightly too often, you're probably not up for a slashing. Probably not.
All right.
Next story.
It's mine. Stop it.
Quickly then.
Phoenix Foundation. Do you know who they are?
Not really.
They're a New Zealand band.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who Will Ricketts is?
Definitely not.
He is the Phoenix Foundation, what is he, keyboardist, percussionist. He's lived in New Zealand since he was 2.
Oh, yeah, so he's Kiwi.
He wants to apply for citizenship.
Hey, that should probably be an open and shut case then. Lived in New Zealand since he was 2. How old is
he
now?
Yeah, probably can.
Oh, unless he's 3, in which case he can wait.
Yeah, no.
I think usually you have to wait about 5 or 6 years or something, right?
Yeah, no, he's probably not going to get... Well, in theory, he won't get New Zealand citizenship because he hasn't spent enough time in the country in the last 5 years because he's been touring with his band promoting New Zealand music.
Well, that sounds fair, actually. I think if you're not in New Zealand, why do you even need citizenship?
Because he lives here, and he has lived here
but
a whole
apparently
life.
He doesn't. Apparently he's off overseas.
Well,
once he settles down, he can get his citizenship.
Well, anyway. So
you only need to be here like 8 months out of the year. You can still travel a fucking lot.
It's not if you're a popular touring band. He needs to tour because he can't make money if he doesn't tour. The band can't make money if he doesn't tour, so essentially they're saying you can't be a citizen unless you quit your job.
He should have studied commerce at Auckland University. Then he'd have a job, and it wouldn't require him to be all over the world.
I don't know whether he did or not. He's applied for citizenship anyway. He hasn't applied yet. He's intending to apply for citizenship and see what the citizenship-y people say.
Yeah.
He can appeal. If he gets denied, he can appeal to the Ministry of Immigration for... intervention, basically.
Yeah, I don't. This story's boring.
Yeah, okay, fine. I thought it was interesting.
Next story.
Because he's not, I mean, he's going to get it once he stops fucking around. He's obviously going to get it.
Good job, man.
Probably the minister's going to fucking intervene anyway because that's why he went to the press.
Next story.
Absolutely.
New Zealand's. Now, this is the sort of story that we should be spending all of our budget on and researching. New Zealand's Bacon of the Year winner revealed.
This is from Christchurch. How would we get bacon from Christchurch?
Yes, from Christchurch, but also from Christchurch, 5 years running he's won this. So he's blimmin' good. This is from the Ellesmere Butchery in Leeston in Christchurch. Apparently that's a place. He was yesterday awarded the New Zealand Bacon of the Year prize.
Did he score well?
Sugar-cured middle bacon. Did he score well? He couldn't have scored better. The bacon was awarded a stellar 100 out of 100 points from an expert panel of 33 judges. How do you become a bacon judge? I need to know.
How do you become a bacon expert? I want to be recognised as a bacon expert.
Polybear Farm, Leighton Duncan, in the chat room, he says, it's some good bacon.
Hey, Leighton, if you somehow send us some bacon... Yeah. From this bacon place. We'll look in the prize cupboard.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find you an Android phone or something. Hey!
Look, next story. I've got the cover CD from the June 2008 digital photo magazine here.
Next story.
So you can have that.
Don't have a hell of a lot of time.
All right. Well, shall we talk about
New Zealand's most trusted brand? Yes, we should. Congratulations, Whittaker's.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Didn't Cadbury's used to be on that list quite a lot?
Yeah, they're not even in the top 10. They don't even appear in the top 10 at all. There's no mention of them whatsoever.
Right.
But it's a bit strange to me because, I mean, Whittaker's obviously are a New Zealand brand. This is about not being a New Zealand brand but being a trusted by a New Zealander's brand, though, because we've got entries in there like Toyota and Colgate, which are, yep, you know, very clearly not New Zealand. Lemon Empire, which is, you know, owned by Coca-Cola Amatil. I mean, that's a New Zealand brand, but, I mean, clearly it's not owned by New Zealanders. Sanitarium, also not a New Zealand brand. What is, I don't even know who owns that. Probably the Canadians now, right? St. John's, definitely New Zealand. Whittaker's, really, true blue, New Zealand. And I'm delighted for them. And actually, coincidentally, Sal just came into the studio and stole a bar of, at your suggestion, Dylan, the chocolate peanut butter Whittaker's.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Really good. I like it a little bit too much. Probably can't buy it again because I like it. I like it.
So, interestingly enough, in 2010, Cadbury had been number one the previous year in 2009, but they fell to 36th because of the palm oil thing.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots. There you go. I don't even buy their stuff anymore at all. Once upon a time, you know, it was probably 50-50, Whittaker's and Cadbury. You know, I just didn't really differentiate between them. Now I don't even look at Cadbury. I don't even consider it. It's not even chocolate anymore. It's off the radar.
Okay, and in 2010, Whittaker's debuted on the list at number 5.
Right. Good for them.
So it's interesting that we've replaced a chocolate company with a chocolate company in just two years.
And I think it's quite clear that that's exactly what's happened. People have moved from Cadbury to Whittaker's. And I hope they stay there because they actually really are a New Zealand company.
New Zealanders.
Exactly. We've gone into that in previous. And this is particularly why I brought this story up on the show, because we've spoken about Whittaker's before because we're impressed by them.
So in 2009, Cadbury topped the list for the 7th consecutive year.
Well, sucked in, Cadbury. You're not even in the top 10 anymore. And I hope they don't make it back because, I mean, there are some mistakes that are so big, they just shouldn't be forgiven. It's not a New Zealand brand. I think a lot of people grew up thinking that Cadbury's was somehow New Zealand. Whittaker's
actually felt it when I was a kid. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, for me too. It felt New Zealand, and it's really not. I guess our last little news story.
Next story.
Is the giant of children's literature dies, Margaret Mahe. Who I think everyone is familiar with, probably from their childhood. I can't say I've read any of her stuff lately.
No, I mean, I've probably more recently than you, I've read some to my kids.
That's right. And so it's parents I'm more probably affected by this, and people who are pretending to be more emotionally invested are also more affected by this. I mean, she was 76. She was right there in the age range.
I must say, there were like a year ago or something, she turned up on TV a couple of times in the news. I can't remember what it was for. Maybe something to do with the World Cup. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But I remember at the time being slightly surprised that she was still alive. I thought she wasn't for some reason.
Yeah, actually. And the first time someone mentioned it and they were like, blah, blah, blah. And Mahe, I miss these people. And I was like, Margaret Mahe's not died. And then I scrolled back through Twitter and I was like, oh, she just died. Right. Well, that makes sense.
So now the other thing, though, that I've talked to a few people about, I'm fairly sure that when I was young, her name was Margaret Mahe.
Yeah.
Is it just a pronunciation change?
Yep.
Or like, so I'm not imagining that, am I? People used to say Margaret Mahe.
Yep.
And now it's Mahe.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
Yep.
Because the first time I heard that, I was like, wait, what?
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 What? The only story, I might as well quote from our friend of the show. I guess we can call him that, even though he hasn't been on except that one time on the election special. The only story... Craig Runapier. The only story on the local cultural front today is the death of Margaret Mahe yesterday at 76. I don't think I'm the only reader who was shocked, but shouldn't have been, that this intensely private woman, despite her vivid public persona, was diagnosed with cancer in April. Others can write with more authority about a career that ranged from children's picture books and poetry through young adult novels, every bit as fine as real literature, through to a singular and underrated at the time foray into science fiction-ish television writing that makes me wish she had done more. Yeah, and that, I think that's probably true of just about everyone, but it's most obvious in the people who actually do something that, you know, if only they'd done even more.
I kind of wonder if she did do more, like if there's any, you know, unpublished manuscripts that might come out or anything.
Yeah, but actually the story of the first publication is quite an interesting one. She couldn't get a publisher in New Zealand. She was published by the school journal, but she couldn't get a publisher of actual books.
Is that still going, the school journal?
I have no idea.
I have vivid memories of reading through stacks of school journals.
All right, let's bang through a couple more things. You know, it's a sad loss for New Zealand. We don't have that. We've got a lot of creative people, but we don't have people who kind of transcend generations, which I guess she did.
Shall we talk about what my auntie's talking about?
What's your auntie been talking about?
My auntie's talking about Suits, which she was talking about last week, but you didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
It's a show about, let's just say it's a show about lawyers, because anything else I say about it will kind of spoil the first episode and the interesting premise that goes into the series from thence. Some website you've never heard of declared its list of the best new TV shows of 2011. Number one was Game of Thrones, which you have heard of.
Yeah.
Number two was Suits, which you haven't heard of, but you should have.
Yeah.
It's a fun lawyery show with some interesting kind of an interesting twist that you don't usually see in lawyery shows. I quite like it. I don't think there's anyone in it that you really know. Like, it's not packed full of well-known faces or anything. But the writing seems good. I like the acting. There's some
funny very because good when characters. You started talking about it, for some reason I was thinking of what is it even called? I can't remember, The Firm or something. Not Suits at all. I had a misapprehension. This has an 8.8 out of 10 rating on IMDb, so it is definitely worth checking out.
And my understanding is my auntie sent me four long play E180 tapes, I think, or no, two long play E180 tapes with the episodes on them. But my understanding is that there is even more on air in the States at the moment that my auntie will probably send me.
Excellent. Wow, that's really exciting. It's because I haven't even heard of that. I'll have to go and see if they've got it down at on the Mighty Ape website or down at JB Hi-Fi or maybe has it played on TV in New Zealand? Maybe it's on TV.
I don't think so.
I'd be excited to see that.
I'm not sure.
Best of Life Hacker.
I actually do have some auntie, what Gerardine's been talking about, but we can save them for another week. I think Suits has got such a high rating that we should not dilute it. I think people should check that out. 8.8 out of 10, it's hard to achieve on IMDb. Best of Life Hacker.
Best of Life Hacker.
Make watermelon juice using a drill and coat hanger. So apparently blenders are really, I mean, you need a specialised juicer or something for a watermelon. So what you should do is cut a little hole, put a coat hanger, straighten it out, put that on the end of an electric drill, stick it in through the hole, and mash up the inside, and then you can pour it out as juice. Why on earth would you want to chop the thing up and drop the bits into a blender and do the same job without looking like a mental case? Why would you do that? No. Well, you wouldn't. Would you? No, of course you want to do the thing with the coat hanger. A bit of wire spinning around in the kitchen. That's not insane.
Best of
from
life
some
hacker.
Random coat hanger you've just grabbed from the cupboard. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to try it.
Lunatics.
I saw a thing on Facebook for making a brownie in a mug, which I've got to try as well.
Yeah, that would be cupcaking, wouldn't it? In a manner of speaking.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
All right, say one, two, or three.
Two.
Two. Your word is remasculate.
I know exactly what that means. Okay. This is if... I think this is basically the equivalent of what cows do, but it's for humans. So if you have a hot dog, like if you eat too quickly and you burp and it comes back up, and then you're like, instead of just re-swallowing, it's not like it's puke that came up. Then you just chew a little bit again and swallow it again. That's obviously what that is.
You're very close.
Remasculate.
That would be remasticate, which doesn't seem.
Oh,
to
Oh wait! Did I mishear you? I blame your pronunciation. Sorry, carry on. Your remasculate then? Because my one is
remasculate
obviously
is the opposite of emasculate. To grow one's balls back after they have been shrunken by an especially effeminate activity. The example is God. The girlfriend dragged me to see License to Wed. It was terrible. I had to remasculate afterwards by watching Die Hard: The Bloody Retribution.
You're all wrong.
Excellent work. Thank you and congratulations. Do we have any other bits that we normally do? Yes, we do.
Corrections.
The jogger that I mentioned last week who was...
Oh, yeah, that was one of the points. That was one of the times when I was yelling at you.
They were not sufficiently reflective. They actually were wearing a reflective vest, and I may not have mentioned it, but they had been charged with the same thing previously. So a bit of a clown, maybe doing it a bit willfully, like some cyclist.
Road code also says joggers should be as visible as possible to traffic.
Yes, but that doesn't mean reflective. The road code suggests you should wear light-coloured clothing.
Yep.
It doesn't say... And that seems like a safety thing for the jogger, not a law thing for which you can be charged.
Well, it's a safety thing for joggers and cars, and you can imagine coming around a corner and seeing suddenly having a shape appear in front of you, easily overreacting and
Yep, okay.
Which is possibly what happened. Who knows?
Also, a correction. The whole of last episode was a problem, and I apologize for it.
Yeah, well, these things happen. I listened to it. I thought it was a delightful train wreck.
Ke hia te wharepaku.
Three.
Hei kona rā, nā Morgan.
Two.
Yep, see ya.
One. You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.
I think that went really well compared to last week.
It was definitely better than last week.